Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening, church. It's a privilege to be up here tonight to share with you. I'm really excited with what God's got to share. When I was planning and praying about this message, and I wasn't really sure what to do, it was one of those ones where you realize that God had been putting little things in my mind and just coming up about what he wanted me to speak on tonight. So I'm excited. So let's get into it. Something you may or may not know about me is that I have in the past and currently continue to run quite a lot in my life. When I was young, I used to constantly go out for runs, and I'd say I still do have a love-hate relationship with running. If running was my friend, he'd be that guy that you didn't really always want to be around because he's just exhausting and so much effort. But at the same time, you knew you had to keep him around and actually end up appreciating him once you're finished with him, a bit like Cam. Just kidding. We love you, Cam. Now, I don't know if any of you enjoy running. Most of us do not enjoy running. I would argue that many of us, despite not necessarily enjoying the act of running, we enjoy the feeling of finishing a race having given it our best go. And I ran a lot of school cross-country races in my time, and these school cross-country races were compulsory. And so you came to know three different types of runners that you come across. The first type were the recreational runners, those that enjoy sort of a social walk, maybe holding hands, skipping along, and really just getting in the way of everyone else in the race. The second type were the dare-to-dreamers, I call them, those few people that once a year believe that it's a mind-over-matter thing to get up and run and win the race. Those people that bolt out for the first 100 metres and throw their arms in the air like, yeah, I'm going to win this race, and then 500 metres later realise their legs are shot and it's not really a mind-over-matter deal. And the third are the far too serious runners, whom I was one of in the cross country. Anyone that knows me knows that I took it a little bit too seriously. And we just get annoyed at everyone else that's getting in our way, like those recreational runners at the start. But the problem is, unless you're this guy, there's always someone faster. So I used to get frustrated in that you'd go and you'd win one race and then you'd go to the next race and you might win that one, but you can just keep going and someone's going to beat you eventually. So you can never really win unless you're this guy up here. But the title for my message tonight is It's Your Race, Where Are You Now? It's your race. We're not all cut out to be runners, but we are all in a race. Cam was actually saying before that he went for his first run in a little while. I think Gooch took him, and he was coughing up blood by the end of it. We're not all made to be runners, but we are all in a race. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a dip at you tonight, Cam. I want to challenge us all. well played, well played. This evening I want to challenge us all on what we are currently doing. What is it you are currently doing to contribute to crossing that finish line, having run the greatest race possible? Why don't we pray together? Father God, we just thank you, first of all, that we can be here on a Sunday night and be in your presence. Lord God, we just pray that tonight our ears would be open, our hearts would be open to hear. Lord God, that it be, whether it be a small thing or a large thing, that we might be transformed to be closer to you tonight through your word. Lord God, give us the grace and the peace to go out of here a changed person. In your name we pray. Amen. So I've centered this message around the book of Hebrews tonight, as it's a book I believe can catch and challenge us when the race is all getting a little bit hard. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were on the verge of abandoning their faith. They were tired, they were weary, and didn't appear to have much to offer God. And perhaps the easiest way out of their earthly circumstances was to dismiss God altogether. You may have heard the quote, "If it were easy, everyone would be doing it." Well, there is a reason why the Hebrews found it difficult and hard to persist in their faith. And there's a reason why in the 21st century, the majority of people that you look at aren't walking in faith. It's a lot easier to walk in the way the world tells us to walk, to let ourselves be consumed by the voices, the advertisements, and growing commercialism in this world. There are always times in life where our faith walk is easier and other times where it is harder. You might be experiencing one of those times right now. However, at some stage, we will face trials, even if it's easy for you at the moment, and tribulations testing our resilience and character in the faith. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word character. To me, the best representation of character is staying firm to who you are and not allowing adversity to weigh you down, but to spur you on. Hebrews is a book to challenge our mindset, I believe, more than anything else. When we drop our guard, when we let our mindsets slip from being focused on God, focused on the race and the goal, we leave ourselves susceptible to the pull and the weight of the difficulties of this race. Just like in a race, there is great power in your mind. Someone that has mental resilience is going to be far more successful in their race than someone that allows doubts and struggles to rule over their actions. I believe Hebrews 10 verse 36 is a good place to start as it grasps the intentions of this book. It says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We are called to offer our lives as a living sacrifice to God, to follow in his footsteps, to achieve the will of God. But isn't it interesting that in this verse it states, when you have done the will of God, you will then receive what he has promised. In fulfilling God's will, we also receive what he has promised. So often we think that living for God is a sacrifice of the enjoyment that we have in life. Whereas truthfully living for God, living in love, is the way in which we find our purpose, enjoyment, contentment in a life that is well lived. There is a reason why helping others gives us a sense of joy and accomplishment. God has wired us that way, so we are called to reflect his love. God has created a world in which children, the ones he loves, us as his children, have the potential to live out a fully fulfilling life the way it was meant to live, in accordance with service to the King. When God so loves us to sacrifice his Son, of course his purpose and his will for our lives is going to be in line with our best interests. But we need to persevere with the journey and race that is accomplishing God's will for your life, and surrender ourselves to the race that God has for us, not our own race. So in Hebrews, I believe there are a few points and tools that God gives us to equip us for this journey. The first one is that God gives us a track, a plan, and an objective to run in. In Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Marked out. Each of us are born with potential that God can use to the degree which is up to us. I was running a while back in a cross country. I was, just as a side note, I was very serious about my cross country. And we'd gotten to, there was a school cross country, there's a district zone, and I happened to make it to the state cross country. So it was a big deal for me, and I was pumped. I was ready to go. And got to about halfway through the race, and I found myself on my own, which doesn't happen very often. There were a group of people at the front. Don't worry, I was never going to win the state cross country, but there were a group of people behind me as well, so I wasn't coming last. But I found myself on the own, and in these cross countries, you have marshals that sit every 300 meters down the track. And their job is basically to tell you where to go, to make sure you're going in the right track and perhaps encourage you along the way. And this one particular marshal was just reading his book, and he never noticed that I ran past. And so I just ran straight past in the wrong direction. And it wasn't until about 100 meters down the track that he called out to me and pulled me back to bring me back onto the right course again. So you can imagine how frustrated I was. In a state cross country, they have run 100 or 200 extra meters in this race. I'd put my faith in the wrong person, the wrong thing. And whilst I still finished the race, it took me a bit longer to get there and a bit more effort, which you're never that happy with. God sets up a direct route for us to follow that will give us the most efficient and successful race possible. However, we can begin to change course to fit in the focus we have on finances, on gaining approval of others, on materialistic desires, and so our course changes ever so slightly. Some keep on running in that same direction, and they lose their way, never to finish the race. Others might be like me and thankfully realize you're running in the wrong direction, so you turn around and come back and eventually get back on the right track. but you'll still be that little bit slower, and it might take you that little bit of extra time and a little bit extra effort to get back on your right path. When our lives are referred to as a race, it means it's ordered. It means it's ordained. It has an ordained time period. Just like a runner in a lane, we have been given a lane, an assignment, an ability, a gift, a purpose. It's not random or abstract. One of the great questions we ask ourselves constantly is, what does God want me to do? But I believe one that precedes that we should ask first, is, who does God want me to be? These footsteps that are marked out for us doesn't necessarily mean a make or break decision. If you decide to work for McDonald's instead of World Vision, that doesn't mean God won't use you at McDonald's. Sure, he may use you more in a particular environment, but at the same time, there's no reason he can't use you more at McDonald's. God's power is far greater than our ability to serve in a particular environment. Therefore, it is about developing who you are before you realize what you're doing. It is about the love in which we can show, the personality and the mindset that makes us who we were created to be wherever we are. Something God has been teaching me lately is, not seeing outworkings in circumstances you had planned for doesn't mean that you are in the wrong place. Sometimes there's a battle God has to win in you before things start to happen outwardly. There is so much more going on under the surface that we don't always see. An encouraging word at the right place at the right time might be the turning point for the people around you. God will work through his plan in us if we just submit to him. It's all about submission. Submission to do his will, to be open to his ways, as he will handle the things that we can't, but he won't handle the things that we won't. I love the way that God has his own way of handling things to show his power through us. When we need to knock down a wall, he won't give us a wrecking ball, he'll give us a trumpet. Or when he wants to bring us a savior, he won't bring us a warrior, he'll bring us a baby in a manger to a virgin. God shows up through normal people in the Bible through their submission. And he shows up in each of our circumstances when we continue to walk in the footsteps that he has set out for us. So the first thing I believe Hebrews can remind us is to walk with intent, purpose, and confidence, knowing that there is a lane that has been formed and made for you to be the person of God's will. The second one is that our sin adds weight to our run, but doesn't have to dictate the outcome. Referring to the rest of Hebrews 12, verse 1, as I did before, again, as it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Confronting the sin of the Hebrew people is one of the main focuses of this book. Why? Because sin is what separates us from God and will ultimately throw us off track. We cannot run an effective race for Christ if we are constantly being ruled by sin. We can only have one master, and we know that the pull of the world is strong and often tempting. I look at a packet of Fruit Loops, and I think, they look so good. They look great. And on race day, I could be, and I probably would be, craving a bowl of Fruit Loops. But I have a choice to make. Do I want to run the best race I possibly can, or do I want to enjoy a bowl of Fruit Loops? I can't have them both. Which one do I want more? To finish the race in the best possible fashion. But I think sometimes we want to manage the enemy. Perhaps if I just have a small bowl of Fruit Loops, then it won't actually affect my run. But I want you to hear this tonight, that we can't manage the enemy. It's not until your desire to be free outweighs the enemy's desire to be in you. We mentioned earlier the power of your mindset, the way in which you think is so important to restricting the hold sin can have on your life. So how do we increase our desire to be free? I believe it's about time. Time we spend with God, the more his righteousness can flow over us, the more time we spend. It's interesting when I like this analogy that when we get an injury, maybe a broken leg, all of a sudden our schedule starts to fit around that broken leg. We might have work, which we never skip, but then when we break our leg, we make room to go to the hospital to get it fixed up. But then when the leg starts to get fixed again, all of a sudden our schedule starts to close in. And it's similar with our faith. When we need something from God, when we're in pain, when we need him, all of a sudden our schedule starts to open up and we begin praying a bit more and leaning into him a bit more. And then that pain starts to go away and all of a sudden our schedule starts to close in as well. Why is it that we're only desperate for God when we need him? God is not looking for temporary followers who are sold out one day perhaps when things are easy and then falling back into old habits the next. When we are truly made new, we become sensitized to God's presence so that when we sin, we get a sense in the inside that's not who we are. The first steps that comes from becoming a follower of Jesus is not actually the moment of improved performance. I believe it's, in fact, the moment we are sensitized to God's presence. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where you let your guard down ever so slightly, maybe you said a swear word or something that's out of character and someone looks at you and goes, Matt, that's not like you. That's not, I've never seen you do that. And immediately you think, oh, I'm done. That's it. My Christian reputation, it's all tarnished. It's gone. This is because we have become aware of the righteous person that God has created us to be. Our sin acts as a weight in which we have to carry through our race. Now, there are repercussions for our sin. Hebrews 12 talks of how God disciplines his children. However, by the blood of Jesus, this sin does not have to dictate the outcome of our race. It is far too easy and common for people to look at the weight of their sin and begin to focus on it. As this focus shifts, living the righteous life becomes a bit too difficult and therefore turn away from the finish line. This is why to move past sin is not about beating sin itself. It's about spending more and more time with God to become sensitized to his righteousness. A good example I heard once was if a man was so determined to be the best husband and father that he could possibly be, that he went away to a course and spent 2 years just studying how to be the best husband, how to be the best father he could possibly be. And he learned all these things. He became an expert, but at the end of the day, he was actually far worse off than the husband and father that spent the 2 years building relationships with his children, with his wife. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the rules and all of the things that we need to do that it becomes about proving ourselves rather than accepting God's grace and moving on with the race. Running in a race often creates tension, a little bit of edginess. I think tension can be good. I think you need tension to remain faithful and focused. When we are tense, we care about the outcome of our actions. It's about recognizing what you've been given and how you're going to give it back to God. If you're struggling with sin this evening, then we would love to pray with you and see you through that. But don't let the weight of that sin dictate your relationship with Christ, because he still sees you crossing that finish line. The third one, and the final point I'd like to bring up in Hebrews is that life is not about competing, but completing. We live in a relay race. When we see run the race with endurance, it could be contextualized into thinking this is a competitive race, a race in which we are battling our way through, perhaps even against our peers. However, the race we are currently in was in fact made to be run as a relay. In a relay, you rely on each other. You rely on what has been passed on to you in the past and then contribute for your leg into the future. Moses did his job. Jesus did his job. Paul did his job. Whoever led you to Christ, perhaps they did their job. It's now your turn in this relay. Through time, the baton has been passed on. We live a short life in the scheme of things, but are responsible for carrying the legacy of Jesus Christ, not individually, but together. God has called us to be a church in fellowship together, to identify God's will for our lives and to accept the fact that each person's role in the body of Christ is going to look a little bit different. Hebrews 10 verse 9 said, "Then he said, 'Here I am, I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Jesus identified what his will was in the eyes of God, just as we are encouraged to look at where God has placed us, what strengths and talents he has given us to be used to reach different people. Some might be more theoretical in their approach and can therefore reach theoretical people. Others may be more personable and can reach personable people. Because of our differences, it is important not to create friction within the church. There are approaches that reach different people, and we have been called to support each other in this. Hebrews 10, 23 to 24 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." This race has nothing to do with gold, recognition, or winning, but the prize is Jesus. You run anticipating to be with Jesus for eternity and to live a life in which we reflect his love. It's not a sprint, it's endurance. It's not about the fastest, it's about the faithful. This life is a matter of finishing in faith, making it to the end. Therefore, our role is to hold each other up to complete this race together. I love this advertisement that came on a couple of years ago. I think it was in Canada. Why don't we give it a watch?
I pick up a broken comb, run it through my thin gray hair. Though I don't have any plans tonight, I'm not going anywhere. Well, I should have seen this coming. Don't know why I'm surprised.
When the best of us steps up, our nation stands a little taller. We all play for Canada.
Yep, in Canada. We were made to be affected by each other's decisions and pain. It's called love. And I would argue that as a church, we have an even greater responsibility to look out for each other and be able to see from perspectives other than our own. If someone is struggling in their race, are you going to help them keep going? Are you going to try and sabotage their race to help your own? Or are you going to help us finish the race in Christ together? It's your race. Where are you now? Can you sustain the way you are currently living? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the assurance that God has a path for my life and who I become through my submission. Assurance that sin will not dictate my race because of Christ's sacrifice. And assurance that I'm going to contribute to the race of those around me and be held up when I need it. Every person is going to have different struggles and trials. Some may be battling with God's will for their life, waiting patiently for a door or something to show them God is working. Some may be battling with the sin in their life and letting sin rule. But we see that Hebrews mentions one word an awful lot. That word being perseverance. The Hebrew people weren't doing it easy. They were challenged in this book when on the verge of giving in. Where are these people now? Well, that depends on their response. Some will have accepted the challenge and completed the race. They may have had to carry a fair bit of weight, probably taken a few wrong turns, listened to a few of the wrong voices, but they made it and are now receiving eternity with Jesus. For others, it may have been a bit too hard and never got to see the fulfillment of living a life for Christ. So the challenge tonight that I want to leave with you is, how will you continue to run with what you have left in your race? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that first and foremost, you are at the head of our race. You know what our plan is, where we are going, where we are headed. Father God, you know the wrong turns we've made. You also know the right ones, Lord God, but you are with us through it all. And so, Father God, we right now, we surrender and we want to submit to you for you to have your way in our lives. Father God, for just the steps that we might take in this race, Lord God, that we would know that it's an endurance race, it's not a sprint. Father God, that we want to make it to the finish line with you in the best possible fashion, Father God, because we know living a life for you is a life of fulfillment. And so we pray that if there is any chains in sin holding people back right now, Father God, that you would break those chains. Father, they would know that they have a purpose, a track, and a lane in you. Father God, that they will be used for your purpose and your will to benefit your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.